Hare Krishna, this is Ganadhara Swami. Would someone like to say Hare Krishna? Just confirm we're connected.
Jai Guru, Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Here's the, for those who want, here's the problem today. My phone is not charged fully, and it may not last the whole class. Actually, I have no idea how long it will last. But if it goes out, I have a spare battery for my last phone, which also may not last. So if it goes out, I'll be right back on, and then we could finish it up. Reading from Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchade 286 to 295. At 286, we'll begin. Those who are advanced in worship directly perceive the deity as the Lord, and this is fully appropriate, because if they make any distinction between the two, their devotion is curtailed. The oneness of the Lord and the deity is indicated in this statement of Lord Krishna. Quote, my devotee should lovingly decorate me with clothes of sacred thread, ornaments, leaves, a garland, and sandalwood paste, as it is proper. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:27-32. So greetings from Vrindavan. I've been spending a few days here with Priya Darshan, came to Govardhan, and now we're here in Vrindavan. I'll go back this afternoon. So we're discussing the Archana section of the Sri Bhakti Sandarbha. And it basically described, at least I'm trying to summarize it, there's really three, four, there's really three core purposes to deity worship. Because there's a whole discussion here. If the holy name can give you perfection, then why do you need archana? It was an intricate discussion here. In fact, this is the section where I have an audience today, so this is the section where Dikshit is actually described, because it was in relationship, basically, with worshipping the deity. So there's quite famous verses in this section. But basically, the first thing is because the mind is impure, it has to be under injunction. You have to consciously put yourself under scriptural injunctions, under obligation and under duty. If you don't, it's hard to remain sick, and too many impure thoughts will come. So, to facilitate even the chanting of Hare Krishna, people are in the right condition of mind. Someone has to regulate his life, and therefore initiation, deity worship, etc. Otherwise, if one just tries to act according to his natural taste and he's not pure, then he won't be able to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. Bhagavad Gita says, indriya-syarte raga-dvesha-vibhakti-ta. In the senses, to the sense object, there's attraction and repulsion. And that attraction and repulsion of the conditioned soul is not based on Krishna consciousness. He likes things which are not good for him. He's repulsed by things that are good for him. So unless he takes himself off that platform and regulates it, it's hard to remain pure in mind. That's one purpose of deity worship. The other purpose is to prioritize spiritual life to households. So many duties so many responsibilities. And deity worship and having a deity and the consciousness of a deity obligates one to the Krishna. Even the fact that you can't eat the deity worship. And then the third thing is, and this is especially in the Vaishnav line, is to develop some sangha, a relationship with Krishna. And that's extremely important, is to develop love of Krishna. Even if you chant the holy name has to be chanted with the holy name will purify you and bring you to that point to facilitate the absorption of the holy name. Okay. Someone else is coming in. Facilitate absorption in the holy name. There should be some bandha. Please come in. Thank you. There should be some sambandha or some relationship. So that's also. For it helps to develop some relationship. So many points were discussed. The last point we discussed was Shalagram. And it described, very interesting, that what Shalagram is the place where the Lord naturally manifests. It's kind of like a dam, the Supreme Lord naturally manifests. And it's even described with the verses later that come on that say, well, one worship Shalagram. It's almost like an environmental policy where Shalagram is worshipped. And if you actually have that consciousness, then everything within a certain proximity is kind of purified and worshipable, etc. Someone just came on the thing, you have to mute the phone, please. I can hear you. So the Shalagram, it's the seat of worship for the Supreme Lord, where the Supreme Lord naturally manifests. The only thing is that you have to imagine the form. The form is not there. And when one worships a deity, this is also a very, very important point, that one has to be in the mood that you are residing in the abode of that deity. If you have Giriraj, you should be meditating that you're actually in Govinda. If you have Purnipai, you should be meditating that you're actually in Navadvipa. And now the section that we're going to be discussing today is how the form of the deity is not existent. Someone just came on and you have to mute the phone, please. So there's a section here how the deity is non-different. And how important that consciousness is. If there's any sense that there's difference, then devotional sentiments will not manifest. And that's like, if you go and we're so conditioned. It's metal, it's marble. If you think like that, then real devotional sentiments will not be manifest. And there's one story that's given here. This Muni who goes to the river and Maharaj Dasarath is actually hunting, and when Maharaj Dasarath is hunting, then he sees some leaves move, and he thinks that it's the animal that he's supposed to kill and offer in sacrifice, whatever the Kshatriya is with. Instead, by accident, he kills the son of a sage. And the stage starts lamenting. And this is the Yuga Goswami referencing. And the stage starts lamenting, "For have I at any time considered the deity of Hari to be made of stone as the result of which this calamity has come upon me?" So he's going to give, he wants to give these references. And then Yuga Goswami is so brilliant. but he gives the reference to show how much the deity is actually God, how the deity is actually non-different. This is the reference we discussed today from the Bhagavatam. Says, my devotee should lovingly decorate me with cloth, sacred thread, ornaments, leaves, and garland. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, and Krishna is speaking about the deity. But Krishna is saying, you should decorate me. He's talking, this is a section on deity worship. Krishna is instructing Uddhava. This is 11th canto, 27th chapter. It's where deity worship is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. This section where it actually describes the sasana. If you want to mark that down. 11th canto, 27th chapter. Anyway, I'll tell you later. But it's Krishna instructing, and then he says, you should worship me. But it's non-different. The deity is Krishna. And you have to be in that consciousness to cultivate devotion. And here it's really talking about this sambandha or this relationship. And this is just Jiva Goswami's comment. He said, in this verse, the pronoun mom means me, indicating the deity is one with the Lord. The adverb supreme with love also implies the same. But consequently, in Vishnu Dharma, Lord Vishnu makes this statement to King Ambarish in reference to the deity. So this is, again, the sense that when you actually develop a relationship with the deity, that Krishna is actually manifest to you. And this is how you think. So this is Vishnu talking to Ambarish. Fully absorbing yourself, your consciousness into the deity, you should abandon all other distractions. When you worship and meditate upon the deity with devotion, the deity will bring about your welfare. Consequently, while walking, standing, dreaming, eating, you should think of the deity as situated in front of you, behind, above, below, and to your side. Now, the phone somehow is going to run out today. I'll try to get back with this other battery if it goes out. So, this is the mood of someone who understands it. He's in the consciousness that his Lord, it's Krishna, it is manifest through him. And it's not just on the altar. His Lord is the Lord. That what's on the altar is the Lord of creation. He has that consciousness, and he's always thinking of the deity as the Supreme Lord. There's absolutely no different. And you can see in our consciousness when we make such distinctions. One time, I invited one sadhu to come to Prabhupada's disappearance festival. A very interesting thing. And I said, please speak. He said, what will I say? I said, well, you were with Prabhupada in 7 years. Prabhupada stayed with us for a little while. And you saw Prabhupada. And he said, did I see Prabhupada? He said, did I see Prabhupada? He said, just like if you're before the deity, right? And you're talking frivolously to your friend. Have you seen Krishna? So this is this type of consciousness. Therefore, in regard to deity worship, activities such as invoking the Lord's presence in the deity are described in the following way. Okay, I'm back. Arati, are you there? Anybody there?
We're still here, Maharaj.
Someone there? Okay. It's probably not going to last because this is my old battery that I had to get rid of. But the section is coming up going to be so nice because what it's going to discuss, this is a very point, is that discussing receptacles of worship for the Supreme Lord. But one receptacle of worship is actually a human being. And he's a receptacle of worship according to the level of awareness he has of God. So, in other words, human beings are also worshipable because they're receptacles also. They're steeped in worship of the Supreme Lord. And it's going to discuss levels of respect. according to a person's awareness. You know, like a Dhyani has more awareness than a devotee. And, but it also mentions that what happened is in Treta Yuga, what happened in Treta Yuga, you know, there was no deity worship in Treta Yuga. It wasn't even thought of to know. The sages established it when they saw that people could no longer place their faith in others. They had to establish like a deity, which is an absolute standard. It's not dependent on awareness of awareness of the deity's awareness. But people would have doubt, does he actually have awareness of God? Is he fully? And then they saw that this won't work. In other words, it was the same things that the same effects or purificatory effects that we have in relation to deity, which was just there in relationship to respect of others. But as soon as there was a little more impurity coming in the Treta Yuga, the sages saw that this is not working. People are just too unfaithful, and they won't have that same level. Anyway, we'll get back to here. So he's mentioning now, this is how one, you know, different ways in which one looks at the deity from the Agama. Agama means after the deity. So to respectfully draw the attention of the Lord is known as Avahana. It means that, you know, in relation to the deity, you have to catch his attention by focusing your respect on the deity, because it's non-different. And then to seek the Lord with devotion is called samsthapana. To demonstrate that one belongs to the Lord by declaring, I am yours, is called sannidhapana. To preserve the deity until the worship is over is called sannirodhanam. There's a type, there's two things. One, the deity can be withdrawn, but there's also a ceremony in some types of life where they call the deity's presence to the worship. And then, you know, after the worship, you know, the deity leaves. Then there's statements that forbid the worship of the deity that has already been worshipped by a sudra are applicable only to the sudra is not a Vaishnava. Because it is said, quote, the devotees of the Lord are not sudras. Rather, they are known as Bhagavatas, or those who belong to the Lord. On the other hand, those who are not devotees of Lord Janardana are sudras, regardless of what sudra they belong to. So actually, Don Ashram, everyone who has diksha is eligible to worship the deity, whether it's woman, whether it's sudra, whatever it is. You can worship the deity as long as you're Vaishnava. That's the thing. Now, here's this section that's kind of interesting. Worthiness to receive worship. And this is from the seventh canto. And it gives a gradation. In other words, it wants to make the point. I know this is going to go off soon, but it's really going to get it. It says disrespect of human beings is disrespect of the deity. Is because you can't worship someone in one place and then not worship them in another. That's disrespect. You know what I'm saying? You worship your spouse in public, but at home you're nasty. You know, you can't. That's not respect. So if you actually make a dichotomy and are not actually respectful to the human being, it's actually not respectful to the deity. You can't have that dichotomy. Worship someone in one place and not worship them in another. You actually have respect. You worship that person wherever he is. Then it manifests also that the human being, the degree of awareness of God, is respectful to the Supreme Lord. In the seventh canto, 7:14-34, there is a discussion about the varying degrees of fitness to receive worship. From Narada's statement, it is understood that adoration of human beings. Now, I don't understand this particular statement because it's apparently going to be contradicted later, but I'm just going to read it. In general, is superior even to the worship of the deity, because the Lord is present within the hearts of all living beings. Superior to this is the worship of a jnani, or one who is situated in awareness, which refers to one who takes shelter of bhakti, desire, and liberation. This statement ends, this section ends with the statement, one should offer gifts to a person who sits in awareness. 7:15-2. From this, it's concluded that a jnani is the most worthy recipient of charity. Elsewhere, however, the Lord states, one who knows the four Vedas but is not devoted to me is not dear to me. But my devotee is dear to me even if he is a dog eater. Such a devotee of mine is fit to receive and offer charity, and he is as worthy of worship as I am. We also find these verses expressing the same idea. So the devotees are superior to even a jnani because the devotees worship the Supreme Lord in their utmost form. This quote, this son of a gopi, Lord Krishna, is easily attainable in this world by those who are saturated with devotion to him. Yet he is not so easily attainable by those on the level of bodily awareness, by the jnanis who are awakened, or by those who are situated in the self. So, devotees are the top most aware, because they have the Their worship is the Supreme Lord, the top of the world. Actually, that's our philosophy. Philosophy is, what is Krishna? Krishna is not different than Narayan. Not different from Brahman. It's not three absolute truths. Not three things, Brahman, Paramatma. There's one absolute truth, Abhayam Dhyan, consciousness. But the gradation is in terms of the level of revelation of the absolute truth. And Krishna means the highest revelation of the absolute truth. And I always give the example, it's just like a person, you may meet him outside. If you see that person outside, then you're not seeing the whole person, because the person means his heart. You know, who he is not just the form, it's the vav, the mood, the nature. And that is only revealed in the reciprocation of love. When we say Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, it doesn't mean that he's first, or it means he's himself. It's God himself. It's God that's fully manifest. And that requires a appropriate environment with the intimate associate. Krishna means when God reveals himself fully. For those who have awareness of God, they're actually qualified. They have the greatest awareness of God, and they're the most respectable. The jnanis have some conception of God. They're aware of God. Even Gana, Mr. Doctor, he's the Lord, but they don't know his full personality, because they don't have that intimacy. Again, it's mentioning an ecstasy. And he quotes, a great sage among millions of liberated and perfected beings, one devotee of Lord Narayan is fully peaceful, is exceedingly rare. The moral of these statements is clear that a devotee's fitness to receive adoration is feet, even that of a Yeti. So what to speak of the deity was the object of worship of the deity for the devotee. If you're going to worship the devotee, it's very interesting. If you're going to worship the devotee, what to speak of the deity who is the object of love for the devotee. It has a full understanding of awareness of God. You can't make distinctions. You can't worship in one place and not the other. But in the same sense, the full awareness is the devotee. So Krishna has revealed to himself more fully due to the intimacy of the self. That's Bhagavad Gita. Tesham Satyatanam Vajutam Pratita Vidami Buddhi Yogam Flamyena Mamu Priyanti Sahitya. Krishna gives to the person who has love. He reveals himself, gives the fullest awareness of God. And therefore, when you see the devotee, he's a seed of God. God is fully manifest in his consciousness. And what to speak of the object of worship is the deity. How Krishna is fully manifested. The more the statement is clear that a devotee fitness to receive adoration exceeds even that of a Gami, so what to speak of the deity as the object of worship of the devotee. Therefore, with respect to the Gyanis, we also find statements such as this. If one does not follow the Lord when his deity is taken out in procession, speaking out of delusion that the deity is not the Lord, then even if his karma has been burnt by the fire of knowledge, that means a Jnani, he becomes a Brahma Rakshasa or the Nirvikas, as the least say. It's going to run out pretty quick today. I know I'm not going to have much more time. I'll just read something a little bit ahead. Okay, this is the exact quote. It says, O King, the Lord manifests in all these bodies in accordance with the degree of awakening of consciousness. Therefore, human beings are suitable candidates to honor. Furthermore, their level of eligibility is determined by the manner and extent to which the Lord manifests in them in the form of awareness. They are punctured. They are receptacles God because they can actually understand God. And then it says here later on, although human beings are worthy of honor by virtue of the Lord's manifesting in them, worshippers became prone to the defect of disrespect over the course of time. As people became more impious, more envy, actually, and consequently, Narada speaks of a special object of worship according to the view of the Vedas. This is from the Bhagavatam. Interesting. It says, again, in Treta Yuga, when the wise observed that human beings developed the tendency to disrespect each other, they created the deity form of Lord Hari in order to conduct such worship. Hare Krishna, everyone. I tried my best today. We'll resume next week because this is going to go out any minute. But this point is going to be developed. He says, directly, if well, some people worship Lord in the form of the deity with great faith, but even the worship of the deity cannot give fruit to those who are inimical towards other human beings. And the point is, you can't worship someone in one place and not the other and expect that person's mercy. You can't worship the deity, praying to the deity, please give me mercy, and then go offend somebody else. You can't say, you can't get the mercy that way. You want the mercy of God, you have to respect him wherever you see him. So it says in this verse, it implies that from the point that from that point on, the deity was worshipped because of the tremendous power having been established by the state nature. But anyway, he's going to go And he wanted the point he wanted to make is so that they established it because you're not so respectful. They established the deity. But if you think, because the sages established the deity because people are not respectful, then you can be purified because you're disrespectful. The Bhagavatam, you want to say, no, you think that way, you're not going to be advanced. Don't think that because the deity was established for the lesser intelligence and the neophyte, that you can be, you can't think that way. He said, sophisticating this argument neither dismisses any such possibility of stating that worship the deity cannot bear fruit for those who are inimical as other living beings. By this statement, Narada removes the possibility of any unwarranted interpretation and also preserves the importance of respect for human beings who are the residents of the Lord. Because you worship the deity because people are not respectful, he doesn't want, okay, well, I'm not respectful, so you know, they're not being respected for the deity. He wants to reserve that to be respected. To go out any second. Would anybody just like to say Hare Krishna? I know if someone's there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Rasikya calling from Boston.
Oh, Rasikya, Hare Krishna.
That was really especially helpful.
Thank you.
I was
in anxiety today because I didn't have the you know, I knew, like, somehow I forgot the battery charge when I went to Vrindavan for a few days. So.
Yeah.
But I want to develop this section more. It's really it's describing receptacles of worship.
Yeah, and also I was thinking the depth of Kanishtha Adhikari.
Yeah, that's what Kanishtha Adhikari is. Yeah,
that was really good. Thank you.
Yeah. Here's just some coming attractions about Shalagram.
Uh-huh.
It says, whenever the sacred Shalagram stone is present, it creates a holy place in its vicinity extending to 24 miles.
Wow.
Charity, uttering mantras, and sacrifice performed in this area yield millions of times the result. But in other words, the whole idea is to create respect for everything.
That's
so when you actually see the presence of the Lord, then you're supposed to see the presence of the Lord above.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just... Okay, thank you, Rasikya.
Thank you, too.
There's an audience. Rasikya is a god sister of mine.
Huh?
And she was in the original Vaikuntha Players in New York, the original drama group. Commented on her acting. Probably liked her acting. Very good. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Gail.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming on. I'm sure you have 1,000 questions, but there's at least two.
I do.
Next week, I'll think over how I have the culture of the East. I have kind of... Anybody else say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Anastasia.
Anastasia, Hare Krishna. We'll see you in...
coming days.
Okay, I think you come on the 27th, right?
Yes, I'm coming in the night, yeah.
I think I'll be there on the 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, and 1st. So, we'll see you all next Wednesday.
Thank
you.
Hare
Krishna. Thank you, God. Thank you, dear Sattva, for the good things that you can unpower the nature of the nature.